Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, today as we celebrate the resurrection of your Son, Jesus. We're so grateful that you gave him to this world, that you desire all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, that you love us, that you care for us, that you've got a great plan for our lives. Lord, I thank you today for your word. Your word is truth and light. It'll bring revelation to people's hearts. Lord, even the most callous among us, Lord, just open their hearts may be open to receive from you. Minister to each person, Father, at their point of need, right where they're at, not where I'm at or any, you know, some other person as far as that's serving you, right where they're at, Father. Meet them and overwhelm them with your love and your grace and your goodness. And I thank you for that, Father. I thank you for fearlessness and boldness today to minister as I ought. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, so good to see everybody today. I know there's some folks here that I hadn't seen you in a while as far as that being at Good News Church. I just want you to know I'm not upset with you. Sometimes we feel like, you know, well, I hadn't been in church in a while. They're going to be mad at me. We're not upset with you. We're glad you're here today. Excited that you're with us today and all the visitors and guests. And all you visitors and guests, just relax. We're not going to hurt you. I promise. No, but it'll be, but glad you're here today. I was raised in the Catholic Church, baptized as a baby, as their tradition is in the Catholic Church, and was raised in Catholic schools, Catholic grade school, Catholic high school. So I grew up in church. And the city where I'm from is St. Paul, Minnesota, is predominantly Catholic, 65% of the city. And so the Catholics dominate. They rule as far as that area. And so my whole world was the Catholic Church and that life and my community and in my neighborhood. And it was, in a lot of ways, it was a wonderful community. But I was in church and, you know, tried to be a good person, but just seemed to fail. I mean, and I had a lot of religious education. Again, we had religion classes in grade school, in high school. One of my textbooks in high school was the Bible, real big, thick Bible. So we had Bible classes. If you were to test me on certain things about the Christian faith, I could answer all the correct answers, you know, get the answers right. But for some reason, and you know, had to do with me, I guess, for some reason there was just a disconnect. As I knew about Jesus, had heard about Jesus, I believed in God. I believed in the resurrection of Jesus. I knew that he died to pay the penalty for my sins. But for whatever reason, it didn't impact my life. And that's just, does that seem strange? I mean, to be in church and going to church every Sunday and going to religious schools, but for whatever reason, I wasn't impacted by the good news. And so by the time I was 19, just was going through a series of trials and tribulations, and I was really hurting. And for whatever the reasons were, I felt like God was mad at me. I felt like God was against me. Have you ever felt that way? I didn't, you know, and in our church that when I was little, it was massive auditorium and a big, huge ceiling. And they had this picture of Jesus sitting on the throne up on the seat, you know, the ceiling part. And when I was a kid, it seemed like it was about 100 feet tall. I know that it wasn't. But, and so when I was little, I just felt so bad about myself and so bad about my relationship with God and felt God was so condemning. I felt like those eyes of Jesus were staring at me during the service. They were. I knew they'd be staring at you, Eric. So I was actually scared in church. And so when I was 19, again, just, you know, living that way, I just felt bad about my relationship with God. I just felt I wasn't good enough. I felt like the things that I did, I mean, I tried to do right, but it just seemed like God was upset with me. He was mad at me. And as I felt more and more of that, it seemed like I would do worse. And I'd make more mistakes, and then He'd be more upset with me. So I got to be in a real dark place when I was 19. I tried to hide my pain with alcohol. Really began to feel bad, even worse about myself. And I had thoughts of taking my life. And I don't know if you've ever been there in your life, but can you imagine to feel so bad about yourself that you don't want to live anymore? And what's so amazing is you can think, and this is how messed up life can be and how messed up this world can be, you can think that taking your life is the best decision. Isn't that amazing? That's how dark life can be. And this is all happening while I'm going to church. Going to church, receiving communion, going to confession, all the different things that I was supposed to do, and learning, you know, things about God, but yet I was separated, I was far away from Him. How can that be? Well, the reason is I had head knowledge of Jesus. I had head knowledge of the Bible, but I didn't know Him in my heart. I didn't have a personal relationship. I hadn't correlated what He did at the cross and by His resurrection correlated with my life. And I think a lot of people are in that position. I think even people sitting here today are in that position. They just don't understand how the gospel impacts them. They don't really understand why is it good news. So thank God when I was 19, I had some people in college and some friends of mine, they shared the good news with me. And although I didn't understand at first, they were planting seeds. The Bible says one plants, one waters, God gives the increase. So thank God I had those people in my life that loved me, that cared about me, that loved me enough to share the gospel with me. But I just wasn't getting it. My head got in the way. My understanding got in the way. I thought I was a Christian. But finally, one day, my brother Pat invited me to this meeting. And I had never been to any kind of meeting like this. It was in the Metropolitan Sports Center up in Minneapolis. And we went to this meeting. And the auditorium probably holds about 15,000 seats. And there's maybe about 8,000 or 9,000 people there. And you know how they have in the auditorium, you know, the rows go back up. I sat up, told you how nervous I was. I sat in the very back row as far away from the preacher as possible. Now, no offense to anybody that's sitting in the back row here today. But I was scared. I didn't know. I mean, my whole world was capped. I'd never been in a service like this. Never seen anything like this. But I went to this meeting, and you know, and again, there was 50 rows between my brother, my Pat and I were sitting together, between us and the next people. But he preached the gospel and shared the good news, and it was like a light went off on the inside of me. And it's like for the first time I really began to see Jesus and what He means and what He means to me. And I personalized it. And when they gave the altar call at the end of the service, I ran down and made Jesus the Lord of my life. And I've been changed ever since. And that was 30 years ago this August. And I want to just share a few of the points that he shared in that message today. I think it's very fitting as we talk about the resurrection and celebrate Easter. And many of these scriptures that you know, but we need to be reminded of these things. Some people here haven't heard these things. But just open your heart to God. Open your heart to the Holy Spirit. Let Him minister to you. Let Him meet you where you're at. And so the first thing that I learned during this message that was preached that night, first of all, God loves me. Everybody say, God loves me.
God loves me.
If you have your Bibles, turn to John 3:16. John 3:16, very familiar, probably the most famous verse in the Bible. Besides, God helps those who help themselves. No, that's not in there. God works in mysterious ways. That's not in there either. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I mean, that's good news. He doesn't want me to perish. He wants me to have everlasting life. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And see, my whole image of God changed. He wasn't mad at me. He wasn't against me. He wasn't trying to punish me for my sins. He wasn't standing over there with a baseball bat trying to hit me over the head every time I made a mistake. He wasn't looking at me with mean, ugly, condemning eyes. See, the word condemnation means to leave you without hope. I found out that there was a God that loved me. I found out there was a God that was for me. I found out there was a God that wanted to bless me. And think about this. Jesus called God Father. And He said that we could call God Father. Now, I know some of us have had a rough relationship with our fathers or with our parents, and maybe been physically, verbally abused. And so, you know, maybe the concept of having a father. But just imagine the most loving, caring, kind Father. And God is above, way beyond that. He's the creator of all fatherhood. And so, you know, one of the things here at Good News Church, why we say it's good news, we're trying to change people's image of God, their view of God, because they've been taught that God's out to get you. He's going to get you. You make a mistake. He's not trying to get you. He's trying to help you. He's for you. He's loving. He's caring. He's kind. He's gentle. He's gracious. He's merciful. He's forgiving. He actually forgives and forgets. Wouldn't you like to know some people like that? Wouldn't you like some people, and I know we are here, but to be gracious? To give us things when we don't deserve them? Even though we have a bunch of faults, they love us anyways? Grace is free. Now, who here likes free stuff? I mean, if we were giving out, you know, $100 bills today, we would have standing room only here today. We like free things. Well, the gospel, the good news, is free. And it's because of His great love. So the second thing that the preacher told me that day that my life was changed was that I was a sinner. I didn't know that. That I was a sinner. I thought I was a good guy. I mean, I made a lot of mistakes, but it was just kind of sobering to say I was a sinner. And he went on to tell me this, that was who I was. I was born that way because of Adam's sin. Look over in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you He made alive, who was dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, everybody say nature, were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. I didn't realize, because of what Adam had done in the garden, because of his sin, that I was born in sin. I didn't realize that I had a tendency, a nature on the inside. See, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5 that man is three parts. We are a spirit. That's the real us on the inside. We have a soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And we live in a body. What you're seeing right here is my body. And when I die, this body is placed in the ground, but my spirit goes somewhere. And so you could say, my spirit, that's my nature. And when I was born, even though I was probably one of the cutest babies ever in the history of the world, I was a cutie. At least my mom thought so. And it's hard to look at it that way, these cute little cuddly little babies, but they are born, where all of us are born, because of what Adam did. We're born with a sin nature. We're born with a tendency to sin, to do wrong. That's who we are. Now our parents and teachers and pastors and everybody's trying to help to change that nature and help you do good and do right. But unless the spirit changes, because you're born dead spiritually, you're not born alive to God, you're born dead to God. Unless your heart changes, you will not change. And that's the problem that I was having. That's the battle that I was facing. My heart was not alive to God. I was learning about God in my mind, but my heart was far from God. So I'm having this battle. I'm having this war between what my mind is saying and my heart. And I was trying to do right. I was trying to do better, but I just couldn't do it because my nature was to do wrong. You know how frustrating that is? When you want to do right and you do wrong? And the Bible says, and see, this is the consequences of sin. Sin is just missing the mark. We have degrees of sin, sins we think are higher and you know, bigger sins, but sin is sin. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. That means even the littlest sin can send you to hell. We know the big ones, right? But any sin, the wages of sin, it doesn't qualify it or quantify it. The wages of sin is death. And so sin, this is the problem, because a sinful person can't go into the presence of a holy God. And so someone that has the nature of sin, their spirit is dead. The real you is dead, not alive to God. Someone that dies, and this is why the gospel is so important in this hour. Someone that dies in that condition, the Bible says they go to hell. Now, I don't know what you think about hell. A lot of people today, they don't even believe in hell. But I tell you what, I believe the Bible. I don't really care about your opinion or what you heard on TV. I'm sticking with the Bible, which is the Word of God. And what description we have in the Bible about hell, it's not a good place. You think Augusta, Georgia's hot? We had a hot summer last year, and I think we're fixing to have another hot one this year. Heck, our winter was like Minnesota's, you know, summer. So, you know, just the word hell. I mean, when someone says hell, this is kind of wham, you know. And see, God's not sending anybody to hell. And see, that's where we got it wrong. Well, God's punishing them. God's sending them to hell. No, it's our sin. The devil is is behind this. If anybody's sending someone to hell, it's him, because the Bible says that his job is to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. How does the abundant life involve hell? He came to give us life. He didn't come to give us death. So it's a sin problem, and that was what I was dealing with. I was a sinner, and I couldn't help it. I was born that way. And so my mind and my heart, there was this battle going on. I wanted to do right, but I couldn't. Because my nature, who I really was dead to God. And that is really sad, to be in church, going to church Sunday after Sunday and being lost. Isn't that sad? Going to church, hearing the words from the Bible, and I'm going to hell. If I would have killed myself, I'd have been hot. So God loves us. We are sinners before we meet Jesus. And now the next thing is, Jesus paid the price for my sins. Look over in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Verse 6, read from the New Living Bible. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. I was a sinner. Jesus died for me. See, things began to change when I began to personalize it. And died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed His great love. There it is again. His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, it's the whole deal. Going to the cross, His death, His burial, His resurrection. In God's sight, by the blood of Christ, He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of His Son while we were still His enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of His Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Jesus paid the price. Jesus took our sins, our sicknesses on His body. Took them for us. He paid the penalty for us. That's what the whole thing about redemption. Redemption is paying the price. What are we doing over here? Am I messing something up here? Anyway. All right. Just trying to wake you up. He paid the price. Jesus paid the price. His death, His burial, His resurrection. That's what it was about, to pay the price for our sins. He bore our sins on His body. Went into hell and defeated the devil. Was raised on the third day, and now He's seated at the right hand of the Father in a place of victory. Aren't you glad today that God sent His Son?
Yes.
See, this is the deal. He sent His Son. He loved us while we were still sinners. And wiped away any barriers between us and God. See, there was a gulf. There was a gap between us and God. And Jesus bridged that gap. Praise God. And the last point today is I need to accept Him as my Lord and Savior. Romans chapter 10. Look there, verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Forever, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This word saved here is the word sozo, S-O-Z-O. And this word means, obviously, to save. It means to give eternal life. It means to save from eternal death, from the punishment of sin, the consequences of sin. It means also, more than that, it means to make whole, to cure, to heal, to restore to health, preserve, keep safe and sound, rescue from danger or destruction, to deliver. It means to give new life or to give a new heart. Amen. So that day that I went to the meeting, I finally understood. I understood what Jesus' sacrifice, that he paid the price for my sins. I understand all these things that he did for me. But I realized I had to do something about it. I had to receive him. I had to accept him as my Lord and Savior. So the Bible says, you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. And so that day, so this is what happened. That day I went forward. I ran down to the front. I ran down and the preacher led me in a prayer. And basically I confessed Jesus as my Lord. I surrendered my life to God. I made him my Lord. I gave up trying to strive and live my own way. And I said, I'm going to surrender to your plan, Father. I know that you've got a better plan for me. And so I made him my Lord. I confessed him as my Lord. I laid down my life and took up his life. And then the Bible says that when I did that, I was saved. When I did that, the nature on the inside of me, the Bible says, Jesus said in John 3, I was born again. Mm-hmm. And this is where the resurrection power comes. Resurrection power came from heaven, came into my heart, and changed my spirit from dead to God to alive to God. Yeah. Do you see that? That's when we talk about being born again. I was born in this world. I was born again. I was made a new creation. One translation says, a new species of being that never existed before. And see, now I was really changed. The inside of me changed. I understood the gospel. I accepted it. And I received it by faith. I believed the scriptures. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I believed what the Word says, and then I sealed the deal. This is the way I like to say it. Sealed the deal with my confession. Believed the Word in my heart. Confessed it. And what happens is, through your authority, through your will, you're declaring what you believe. And when you declare something you believe based on the Bible, all of heaven takes notice. All of heaven reacts. That's why faith is so important. And that's why faith is so important for us believers today, not only to be born again, but to receive anything from God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to receive healing, to receive provision, to receive anything. God has thousands of promises in the Bible. We receive all of those by faith. How? By believing and speaking. I heard the gospel. I heard the good news. And one day, I said, I believe. I believe in Jesus. I believe He's my Savior. I believe He's my Lord. I believe that He paid the price for my sins. I believe He was raised on the third day. I believe that in my heart. But then, I took the next step, and I said, with my act of my will, I made a decision. I believe this. And then I spoke it out, and I said, Jesus is my Lord. And when I did that, when I believed and when I spoke, the resurrection power of God came into my heart and changed me. And you know what's so awesome? Is that resurrection power still available today? Anytime I believe and speak, that resurrection power will come on the scene. It's always available 24/7. So I've got good news for you today. Whether you know Jesus or not, you can call on the name of the Lord and His saving power will come on the scene. His resurrection power will come on the scene. How many could use a little resurrection power today? He can resurrect your finances. He can resurrect your marriage. He can resurrect your body. He can resurrect your relationships. He can resurrect your mind. He resurrected my mind. I mean, I was alcoholic. I was set free of that by the power of God. Now, there was a process involved. I was changed on the inside. And I want to tell you, man, when I got saved, I was flying high. And not on any drugs. I mean, I did drugs. Used alcohol, abused alcohol. So I knew what it was like to be high on substances. But I'm telling you, it's another thing to be high on the substance of faith. Amen. It was the thing I was trying to get by drinking all those beers. But the amazing thing about this is it didn't give me a hangover. I didn't have to spend all my money on it. I mean, if you've never had a hangover, I mean, good gracious. I was such a good Catholic on Sundays, after partying on Saturday nights, I would throw up on the way to church. That's the worst thing to be, and I hope no one hears it. I mean, but just, you're just hung over sitting there listening to the preacher. It was like he was just taking a baseball bat and just banging me on the head. So if you have a hangover today, there's help for you. There's resurrection life for you. This is the big deal about believing. What are we believing? We're believing the Word of God. And again, He's got thousands of promises. You see, it's not complicated. I told you I was flying high that first year, but then I got in church and I started to hear religion. Religion is you have to earn God's approval. Religion is you have to work for God's favor. That's the exact thing I was involved in before. But now I'm like, I'm born again and I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven, but that's really about all I know. I even doubt that. Because they get me back on doing the works and earning God's approval. But I realized if I can just every day believe and speak, believe and speak, believe and speak, good things are going to happen to me.
Yes.
And I'm not just believing and speaking any old thing, you know, positive confession, positive attitude. I'm believing and speaking the promises of God. And just like that day I got saved, I began to speak the promises I believe concerning healing. Concerning my finances. Concerning my relationships. I mean, there, you need to get into that book. It's our manual for living. That's why the enemy fights you so much for reading it. Because Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life." Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The Word of God feeds us. It says it renews our mind. See, that's what I needed to do when after I got saved. I needed to renew my mind and wash all the junk. I had a lot of junk in my mind. My spirit was saved, but my mind needed to be renewed. My spirit was transformed, but my mind was still junky. And so what I had to do is take that word and just, and every time I heard it, I'm just washing my mind, washing my mind. And when you can get your mind clear and your mind open to God and your mind renewed to the Spirit of God, it'll begin to tap into the real you on the inside of you. And when that starts happening, awesome things start happening. Because you're created in the image of Christ. Start tapping into that. Talk about the abundant life. Talk about an exciting life. How many here want to live the abundant life? I'm telling you, the world doesn't have the answers. Now, I know we got a big election coming up here, and I don't know who you're going to vote for, but I just want to tell you, whoever our president is, they aren't the Savior. They can't save your soul. See? I'm just getting all kind of confirmations from heaven today. We're a well-oiled machine around here. We just plan these things at random times. Believe and speak. It's not complicated. It's not hard. See, the gospel cannot be... We make it so... Religion makes it so complicated. You know, I don't know. Are there any golfers here today? I need to pray for you if you're a golfer. But when you're playing golf, and you ever played with somebody to try to teach you how to play? It is so frustrating because they're like telling you all these things. And so when you're standing up to hit the ball, you don't know what to do. You're thinking about 50 things. I mean, you're playing worse than you've ever played in your entire life. You just want to talk to this person. Why don't you just shut up and play your game? But if you're standing over the ball and trying to keep your left arm straight and your wrist a certain way and your right arm and your legs and your head and all these different things, you're thinking about, you're going to play lousy. Think about one thing. And see, this is what happens for Christians. They're thinking about all these different things that people are telling them. You need to do this, brother. Do a little more of that. Add this. Do all these different things. And you're just so confused. You don't know. All we have to do is believe. Believe what he's promised. But Pastor, that's too easy. I want a little more complicated. I want some more hoops to jump through. All right, we'll do 10 push-ups before you believe. I mean, at least get your body in shape. Do 10 push-ups. Do some jumping jacks. And then believe. Believe the word, hear the word, believe it, and speak it. And the same thing that happened to you in the day you were saved will happen again every day. It will happen for you. But no, we got to earn it, man. We got to strive. See, he saved me by grace, but everything else I got to earn by my works. It's all still free. All of it's still free. You want to hear some more good news? All right, let's take this a little step further. I'm at the point where I know I'm going to heaven. I know that I'm saved. I'm not going to hell. I mean, if that was the only message, because this life here on the earth is just a vapor. Eternity is forever. So, I mean, I know I'm going to heaven. Heaven is an awesome place. You ought to read about heaven in the Bible. I mean, it is no pain. I mean, who would like this? No pain? No sickness, no tears. Mansions. Who wants some of those mansions? I mean, a mansion unlike anything you could ever even imagine. We all know things we like, but just, I mean, he'll do above and beyond that. Even things you don't even know that you ever, you know what I'm saying? So that's just a good, all that's just a good deal. But there's more here. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll wrap this up today. The thing that really helped me after I was born again, after my nature was changed, the thing that began to help me as I began to renew my mind is I began to realize I am in Christ. I'm in Christ. And see, that revelation will change your life. Look it over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. I'm going to read this from the Message translation. It says, "Instead, immense in mercy and with incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ." Everybody say, "I'm alive in Christ."
I'm alive in Christ.
He did all this on his own with no help from us. Then he picked us up and set us down in the highest heaven in the company of Jesus. The New King James says, we're seated with him in heavenly places. We're seated, not when we die, right now. We're seated with him in heavenly places. In the company with Jesus, our Messiah. Now God has us where he wants us, with all the time in this world and the next to shower grace and kindness. That's what he wants to do upon us in Christ Jesus. Saving is all his idea and all his work. All we do, see, look at this. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. That needs to be your mantra, your motto. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from the start to the finish. We don't play the major role. Get your eyes off yourself. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we've done the whole thing. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing. So New King James says, I'm seated with him in heavenly places. In Ephesians chapter 1 says, I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I'm ready to blast off, okay? I got my rocket packs on. I'm going to push the button and I'm going to fly through the ceiling right now. And if you want to join me, go ahead. Because now I'm seated with him in heavenly places right now. That means because I'm in him, I have victory over the defeated foe, the devil. That means he no longer has the right to steal, kill, and destroy my life, my family, anything that I have anything to do with. That means I have authority over him. I'm seated with him in heavenly places. That means I can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I can be filled just like he was, overflowing with the Spirit of God, God himself living on the inside of me. That means I can have the peace of Jesus. I can have a peace of Jesus. I mean, I can have the peace of Jesus. I can have his joy. His resurrection life lives on the inside of me. I'm full of God. I'm full of his life. I'm full of his peace. I'm full of his joy. Woo! That means that my God shall supply all of my needs. That means that I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, I am righteous. The Bible says I'm holy. I'm pure. That means I can go boldly to the throne of grace. And if I need mercy, if I need grace, whatever I need, I can go to the throne and I can go there and like I belong there because I'm his son. I'm his child. I'm a son of God. Yes. Woo! I've got authority. I'm in Christ. When God looks at me, when the devil looks at me, he sees Jesus. And see, what really begins to get awesome is when you start seeing yourself in Christ, and then instead of just trying to make it through life, you come to a place of victory because you're in him. You begin to live in victory, but then you start seeing yourself as the one bringing the answer. Instead of the one causing the problem, you realize Jesus is in you, and wherever you go, Jesus goes. And so that peace that you have, you now just spread it around. That joy that you have. And what we like to call it here is being a life giver. The Bible says, I'm now an ambassador for Christ. I represent him in the world. So today, I know, you know, in this message today, a lot of you have heard these things. But my desire is for every member of Good News Church to be able to preach this message today. every member of this church to know you're saved, you're going to heaven, and to have that assurance you don't have to keep getting saved? To know how to get saved, believe and confess. But then what we desire and hear for the people of Good News Church, and to live in victory, in order to give life, you have to have life. But I see the people of Good News Church as ambassadors going out in their world. I look at what we're doing here today as practice, and out there is the game. And I want to let some of you know that are getting beat up by in life and just being harassed in life, you can start being the guy harassing the devil. You can be the guy starting making a change and a difference in your world. And life really gets exciting when you start helping people. Who here has gotten someone saved? Go ahead and stand right now. Everybody's gotten someone saved before. Stand up. Is it good?
Yes.
Is it exciting?
Yes.
You may be seated. I want to be able to have every member be able to stand. We're life givers here. To give life, we go about doing good and healing all those that are oppressed by the devil. Now, you may be here today and maybe you've never heard what I've shared today. Maybe it's new to you. But I want to give you an opportunity to know this Jesus. Maybe you've heard about Jesus. Maybe you've been in church. But for whatever reason, maybe you didn't know Him personally. Maybe you're in the same situation that I was in. I want you to know Him today. I want for you to receive Him as your Lord and Savior. I want that resurrection life to come on the inside and change you. And you can know, every person here should walk out of here with that assurance that you're going to heaven when you die. But then I desire for you, not only for that to happen, but then for you to grow in who you are in Christ. Come to a church like Good News and come find out what you have and what you can do and find out your authority and find out that you are a life giver and find out that you can make a difference. Now, if you're not at that point of being a life giver, I understand. You're in the receive mode. You're just trying to get your life together. Jesus will help you with that. He can turn things around. That's what He does. He's a Savior. Again, that word sozo means to save, to rescue from danger, to heal, to provide for, to give life. The answer is to run to Jesus, not run from Him. He's not mad at you. He's not condemning you. He's not out to get you. He's just standing here wanting to give you life today. Will you receive Him? Receive His life. Receive it. Believe and confess. And just like what happened to me and many others here, that resurrection power will come in and change you. Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. You're here today and you want to know that you're born again. You want to know that you're saved. You want to know that you're going to heaven. You want to do what we talked about believing and confessing. You want to be changed on the inside. You just want a better life. You want a new life. You're tired of just living on your own. You want to be in God's family. You want to start walking in His promises. Start being able to receive from His love. It's so simple. It's as easy as praying a prayer. But it's a powerful prayer that will change your life forever. Well, Pastor, I don't feel worthy. I don't feel good enough. Hey, it's a free gift. You can't do anything to earn it. It's not, I was in church. I did all these things. I could never earn it. It was about believing and confessing. So you don't have to do all these things to clean up. You just have to make a decision today. I'm giving my life to God. I'm surrendering my life to Him. And His love and His power will come flooding into your life. His love, His overwhelming love, will come flooding into your life. He's not going to force it on you. You have to decide, make a decision. So if you're here today and you say, yes, Pastor, I want to receive Jesus. I want to be born again. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. Please pray with me. If that's you, lift your hand and hold it high. See a hand here, another hand over here. Who else? Another hand right here. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're so thrilled. Everybody look up here, please. Let's stand. Now, those that raise their hand, would you do me a favor? And we're not judging. We love you. We're for you. But those that raise their hand, would you do me a favor and be bold and come down here? I want to pray with you. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. I appreciate your boldness, fearlessness. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, I want you to do me a favor here. And I know that some folks may be not comfortable with this. That's okay. If you're not comfortable, don't do what I'm saying here. But I'm maybe talking to the members of Good News Church. And I'm not judging anybody by how they look. It's not about that. We just love you. We care about you. But with the members of the church, would you look to your left and your right? And if there's someone that maybe is a little afraid or timid about coming forward, would you ask and say, hey, I'll go forward with you if they want to receive this? Just ask them in love. And if they want to go, bring them down front, please. Because sometimes people are afraid, and I hate for them to miss out. Praise God. All righty. Is there anybody else? I don't want to pray here. Hallelujah. Is there one more person? Maybe your heart's beating real fast. That's a good indicator. It's just kind of beating out of your chest. Maybe you're afraid. Hey, just be bold today. You're in a safe place. If that's you, just go ahead and step out. All right. Praise God. All right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I need to wrap it up. Is there anybody else? I mean, praise God. All right, y'all. We're all going to pray this together. But let's pray this from our hearts. Say this with me. Say, Father in heaven, you are so good. You are so good to me. That you loved me while I was yet a sinner. You loved me so much. You sent your son Jesus to live and die for me. To pay the price for my sins. I receive that sacrifice. I receive Jesus as my Lord. I receive your resurrection power right now to come into my heart and change me. I receive your new life. I have eternal life. Heaven is my home. I am your child. And now, Father, show me your plan for my life. In Jesus' name, amen.